so not among thorns. He's telling them what it looks like to really return. He says, things are coming, things bad are coming. And he says, you need to get your heart right. When things are going to go south in a hurry, you need to be right with God. Okay, you need to. And the way you do that is break up the fallow ground of your heart. Not only that, but he says you need to not sow among thorns. Now, that picture is cleared up for us in the New Testament when Jesus said, when the one sower sowed among the thorns, that was the cares of this world, right? The thorns came up and choked. They were caught up in the cares of this world. He says, don't sow among thorns. Don't be worrying about what the world thinks. You need to kind of go with me. He says, don't sow among thorns. He says, you need to circumcise your hearts in verse 4. He says in verse 5, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem, blow the trumpet, and in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go to the defense cities. Now what he's saying is, if you return to me, that doesn't mean my hand's not going to come down on you. You need to do what I tell you to do. You know, when the lights are out and somebody's telling you what to do, I'm talking about like if we were in this room, we all blindfolded one of you, and you had to walk through here as quickly as you could, and you had to listen real quick, real close, right? That's what's going to happen. The lights are going out. He says, you need to listen to me. You need to break up the fallow ground. You need to get your heart clean, and you need to get your heart, you know, ready for fertile to receive my word. You need to circumcise your heart. Don't worry about what the world's thinking, because what I'm going to have you do in a dark time is I'm going to have you declare amongst yourselves as God's people, run to the city. Long and the short of the story in this regard is he's going to tell them to go to the city, get in sackcloth and ashes, and I want you to stay there until the Babylonians come and be ready to be taken away. What? Not fight? What? Not argue? What? Not seek Egypt's help, which is what they're going to do? What? Yeah, no. You listen. He says in verse 5, declare in Judah, publish in Jerusalem, let us go into defense cities. Verse 6, set up the standard toward Zion, retire. In other words, leave the outskirts, go into the city. Don't stay in the outskirts, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. He says, all you can do now is just grab a piece of wood and hang on, because it's going down. Ship's going down. He says, the lion is coming from the thicket. That's Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. He says, even the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. And he's gone forth from his place to make the land desolate. He says, for this, in verse 8, he says, for gird up yourselves with sackcloth, lament, and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. Even though you return to me, fierce anger of the Lord is coming down on your people. Very important verse. Verse 9, he says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish. And he says, he's told him war's coming, and now he's telling him wisdom's failing. He says, the heart of the king shall perish, the heart of the princes, the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. He says, wisdom's gone. And then he said, and this is where we turn the corner in the passage from Jeremiah proclaiming to Jeremiah complaining. I'd complain too. God, I don't like this message. He says, no. He says, Lord God, surely you have deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. You have so deceived us, Lord, that the people have believed the lie. And why does he say that? Well, because the people asked for prophets to prophesy a nice word. How many of the big smiling preachers telling you to send your money in and get your mortgage paid off and be healed from every sickness and sadness is saying the world's coming down, God's judging his people, and he's beginning in the house of God, and America's in deep trouble, and the president's out of line, and Israel is really being tweaked, and God is angry. They're not, because we don't want to hear that as a nation, so they don't say it. And as a result, because we have said we don't want to hear it, give us stuff, give us liberty, give us money, we get an Obama who gives people money, gives them everything they want. I guess it's 77 weeks of unemployment now that is potentially to be had for every person who's got unemployment. 77 weeks! No work, but a lot of money. And we're happy with that. We asked for it, we got it, and God does the same thing as Romans 1. He gives them up, gives them up, gives them up. They wanted prophets, they got prophets that said peace. And it seems to Jeremiah that God just let him have more prophets saying peace, and he did. In fact, God doesn't make any apology for it. He says, it reacheth unto the soul, verse 10. Verse 11, he says, at that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the children or toward the daughter of my people. What he's saying is, a dry wind. What he's saying is, up on that high place where you went and worshipped continually, you were getting movements and ideas and thoughts and being told, peace, you go in peace. Your land will be blessed. The fertility gods would say your land would grow. And he says, yeah, you've got no rain or anything. He's going to tell you that in a minute. But he said a dry wind came. And he says, not only a dry wind, he says in verse 12, even a full or a fuller wind from those places will come unto me. Or come for me is the idea. He's saying, I'm cranking it up. You asked for a lie, I gave you a lie in spades. I gave you a lie ad nauseum. Just like when you asked for quail, it was coming out their nostrils. He said, that's what I'm doing here. I'm giving you more of it. And yeah, you're going to say, somebody said peace. Don't you want to hope somehow America's going to be all right? I really have a sad moment in my core when I really think about it. This is what made Elijah, or rather Jeremiah, weep. Is that he saw the writing on the wall. You eat it. What does it say? Eat the scroll, and he says it'll be sweet in your mouth. What? But bitter in your stomach? I don't like knowing what's coming. I don't know. I don't like knowing the Abrahamic covenants being, you know, besmirched and laughed at. I don't like knowing that the church has no hunger for God's word, understanding and knowledge from their pastors. That would be the good and the sweet, and yet people don't want it. They want to hear it's going to be okay. They want to hear their boss say, you're not going to be laid off. They want to hear that their land's still going to be theirs. They're going to want to hear that they got the mortgage. They're going to want to hear that they got the good news from the doctor. But they don't want to hear that they need to live for Jesus. Because this is real. And this is our Bible story. No, but that's way back to... No, this is our Bible story right now. And we are either cooperating with it or we're not. He says in verse 13, behold, he comes as the ups as the clouds, and his chariots like a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. He's complaining. He says, I see it all now, God. You're going to unleash it all. Verse 14, O Jerusalem, watch thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. You might underline that word. The dust is coming from the chariots that are coming over hills and mountains, and this time God's not going to send 185,000 of them away dead. He says, they're coming, and they're going to win. And Jeremiah cries out, oh, Lord God, you seem to have deceived us. Now, I didn't deceive you. I gave you what you asked for as a people. And he says, you know what? It's coming. And Jeremiah begins to cry out, oh, Lord God, woe unto us. And he says, cleanse thy heart from... wash thy heart, verse 14, from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. He says, how long shall thy vain thoughts be harbored in thee, is the idea, verse 14. You've nursed the vain thoughts that it's going to be okay. Do you know what they said? Titanic cannot sink. God Himself cannot sink Titanic. America is the Titanic. I can't believe where we are. I know I agree with most of us in this room. I can't believe where we are today. But our boys and girls are falling in death over in Afghanistan today, more than ever before. He says in verse 16. We got to go back to 15. He says, For a voice declareth from Dan. Dan is the highest, most northern point of Israel. He says, a voice is there publishing affliction from the Mount Ephraim, both are northern of Judah. And he says, you, Judah, you, Jerusalem, you need to make mention to the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem. He says, everyone in this city needs to start saying, Jerusalem is going down. Now, guys, listen. It is not popular to say the church is not behaving itself today. It's not popular to say that man's high places are not God's way. But if you read about the Laodicean church, they think they're rich, increased with good, have needs of nothing, that they can see and everything's good. He says, you need to purchase from me clothes. You're naked, miserable, and blind. You've got nothing because you're listening to all the things you want to hear and none of the stuff you don't want to hear. And your ministers are willing for that. In fact, he says, your prophets prophesy that. He says that in the same message later in the next couple of chapters. He says, and my people love it so. And he says to this, in this message, he says, seek the old ways. Seek the old ways. He says that later in chapter 5 and 6. You can read ahead on that. Verse 17, as a keeper of the field, he says, are they against her round about because she hath been rebellious against the Lord? He says, what I need you to do to be my faithful servant in this devastating time is I need you to get on board with me. And guess who stayed there? Jeremiah. And all through his career, he was thrown into prison. He was hated. He was disowned. He was scorned and mocked, laughed at, pushed out of court. His scroll was burned in the fire and rewritten under the inspiration of God through his secretary Baruch. What? He went through was exactly what he was told he would go through, but it's what has to be said over and over again. America's in trouble. The church is really fumbling the ball. We're not walking with God. We've forgotten the old ways. We've forgotten the right ways. We've forgotten that this is a dusty, real, biblical story unfolding today. We like to put it back there somewhere, but it is today the Bible story unfolding. And he's saying, you need to get on board with me and say, Jerusalem shall fall. Now, what does Jeremiah feel about that? Verse 19, my bowels. He says, it's tearing me up. He says, because what I've heard. He says, I cannot hold my peace, verse 19. Because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. He says, my bowels. He's complaining now. He says, destruction upon destruction, verse 20, is cried. And the whole land is spoiled. And suddenly my tents are spoiled. Guess what? And my curtains are gone too. I'm not just going to lose my house, which I thought was the best thing in all the world. I'm going to lose my curtains. He says, it's all going down. And in verse 21, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of a trumpet? When you talk about a standard, think of a flag. And the Bible says that God interjects, my people is foolish. And the word here is perverse. And then he says, for they have not known me. They've twisted who I am. They've not known me. And then he says, they are sottish children, literally foolish. This is the word for foolish. But he didn't want to be redundant in the translation. And this means foolish. And it says, and they have no understanding in them. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Interesting. To do good they have no knowledge. What does it mean to do good for you and me? It means for us to be witnesses. It means for us to be gracious to people for Jesus' sake. To give cups of cold water in Jesus' name. To inconvenience ourselves for Jesus' sake. Even as what? He did for us and our sakes. Verse 23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Verse 24, I beheld the mountains, they trembled. Verse 25, I beheld, lo, there was no man or birds in the city. He says in verse 26, I beheld, lo, the fruit of the place of the will is a wilderness. Verse 27, thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate. And you might underline these words, yet I will not make a complete end. See, he said, I saw it. Once I started listening to God, I saw it. And I cried, my bowels, my bowels. I had somebody say to me one time, you know, I like that. You know, I love coming, but... And it makes me nervous. They don't come anymore. What's he saying? No, you need to get on board with me and you need to let it go to your core so it will create what you speak. Do you know out of the abundance of the heart? The mouth speaks. And when you know what's coming and what came then, and when you see what's going on from A to Z, you're going to talk about it because it'll consume you, and God would have it so. He said, Jeremiah will say later, I was going to be silent, but your word was a burning fire in me. I couldn't keep silent. Verse 28, for this shall be For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens become black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen, and they shall go into the thickets and climb up into the rocks. What he's saying is, I've told you to gather to the city, and I've told you to go in there and wear sackcloth. I've told you to cry out unto me. I've told you to just stand there and repent. I've told you when they come, you just say, here, take us. Here's my hands. Do whatever you got to do. We're in God's hands. We don't know what to do. We don't want to give up our city, but you go ahead. God's told us this is all accursed now. He says, but they're going to leave. They're going to run out of the city. None of them are going to do right. This is why it's going to be scorched earth. None of them are going to follow God at this time except Jeremiah. And he says, because of that, he says in verse 29, he says, every city shall be forsaken and not a man shall dwell in them. He's gone from the immediate, my city will be desolate, the city, the whole city in verse 29, to the end of the verse, he says, all cities will be forsaken. Now, I believe what we have here is a catapult to the future where he's saying every city is going to be wiped out. You remember when they say Babylon is fallen in a day? How could such a great thing come to its end in 1 hour? I think what we're seeing here is a foreshadowing of that. Verse 30, he says, and when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, that's beautiful clothing, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, and though you rent thy face with paint, in other words, enlarge your eyes with mascara, in vain shalt thou make thyself beautiful. He says, thy lovers will despise thee, they will seek thy life. Everyone you had hope in out there in the world who you said, I want them to be on my team. He says, they're going to hate you and they're going to try to kill you. In verse 31, he says, for I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail and anguish and the bringing forth of her firstborn child. He says, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, literally breathing, it's puffing, and it says, that spreadeth her hands and cries out, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied. Why? Because of murderers. First half of his message. You imagine giving this message every week at the gates of the city? Of any city? Can you imagine that? He had to go out every week. He was the Josiah's go-to man. Go out and tell everybody, this is what the word says. And God says, I'm going to take that word you just read in Deuteronomy and I'm going to show you what it's going to look like. Jeremiah, you're now my prophet. Here's what it's really going to look like. You think Deuteronomy looked bad? Here is what it's going to look like. There's a tempest coming from the north and it's going to come down. It's going to wipe out everybody. And guess what? They're going to hate you for telling them. He didn't tell it. He said, don't take a wife because, you know, that would just be too much. You know, maybe it could break you. Because she would be saying, honey, don't, because... Or they could take her and hurt her and make him compromise, whatever. Right? But he said, don't take a wife, and later he's going to be stoned with stones. Guys, this is only the first half of his message. The second half of his message tells them a little bit more about how to get by all this. But he did tell them what to do, didn't he? Go into the city, and you just sit there and you pray. And when they come and get you, don't fight, don't run, don't fear, I got you. And when they come in, you say, God said this city's cursed. God said this city's cursed. Here you go, you can have it. Here's my car. Here's my house. It's all yours, you know, whatever you need. God's already told me. It's a powerful word. But I believe it's also a timely word. Went a little long, but... Hopefully it was edifying for us. Well, I went off this evening and I left all my prayer sheets on my desk. So I have to tell you what we're having on our